Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be sharing a story about bringing hope out of tragedy. I'll be talking with Jay Fagnano about the charity he and his wife Mary founded in honor of their son Nick, who was killed by a lightning strike in 2014. It's called the Thrive in Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation, and there's special meaning to those words thrive and joy that are connected to Nick's vision of heaven. To find out what they are, stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. It was July 2014 when college student Nick Fagnano was enjoying a beautiful Southern California day at the beach. He was in the ocean when clouds suddenly moved in, causing lightning strikes that hit 13 different people. While 12 of them survived, Nick didn't. It was a devastating loss for his parents, Jay and Mary, because Nick had always been so full of life and love and generosity and faith. And in a way, he was generous even into death, because Jay and Mary found an essay he had written about heaven that helped them move forward in a more positive way and create the Thrive in Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation. Joining me now to tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Jay Fagnano. Jay, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me.
Now, I know you had to deal with the tragedy of losing your son, Nick, in 2014, but I want to start with some of the good memories you have of him. Tell us about the kind of person that Nick was.
Well, Nick was an extraordinary young man, and I know every parent says that, but Nick was truly extraordinary. He was our only child, and from when Nick was born, mm-hmm. we had a special relationship, and Nick always had, as part of his being, a relationship with God that I found extraordinary. Now, I did not grow up like Nick. I did not grow up in a religious household. We were Catholic, but it was not a religious household.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick embraced this from when he was little and raising his hand, you know, in kindergarten when the priests would say, "So, who in this room would like to become a priest?" And Nick would, you know, throw up his hand and say, I do. But from the beginning, Nick had a very special relationship with his spirituality, with Christ. And he reflected that each day in how he lived his life.
Yeah.
Whether it was helping people as part of the St. Brendan's, we went to St. Brendan's Church here in Los Angeles, and he was instrumental in helping every year with the Christmas toy drive.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think probably the best example showing Nick's concern for others and wanting to do good was when he was 13 years old, and Nick was an avid baseball player. He loved baseball from the time he could get a ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 13, he saw something on TV about kids in the Dominican that loved baseball as much as he does.
Right.
And the difference was that, you know, for Nick, every year in his little league, you get a new uniform, new glove, new bat, new cleats, and all those things. And in this special, it showed that these kids played with rocks for balls and sticks for bats and who knows what for gloves. And he thought about it, and he thought, you know, I've got all this stuff. Maybe we should organize a uniform drive. So on his own, he started this uniform drive, and we collected, oh my gosh, Tony, way more equipment than we ever imagined. And quite frankly, I knew what to do with, but we got so much stuff.
Yeah.
And we wound up sending, we wound up sending about 300 pounds of baseball equipment down to the Dominican.
Wow.
And I don't know whatever became of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, who it went to, but I know it got there.
Yeah.
And that was just, to me, an example of Nick's care for others, his concern for others, and what he wanted to do as a young guy to make the world a little bit better place.
Yeah. So a lot of young people, when they become teenagers or young adults, sometimes they drift away from their faith. Did that never happen with Nick?
My goodness. No. Nick on his own. This was an important part of Nick's life. And again, we weren't the kind of people that forced this on him. He took this upon himself,
mm-hmm.
to say, this is an important part of my life. And as he got later into his teen years, he embraced it even more.
Right.
And it was an important part of his life. But it's a really interesting aspect of of his emotional and spiritual well-being, that he placed his religion, mm-hmm. his relationship with God, at a very high level. And another quick story mm-hmm. is that actually about 2 months after we lost Nick, Mary was in his backpack, and she found a letter that he wrote to himself when he was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. So he was about 16, 17 years old. And he went on his retreat, his Kairos retreat with school. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that, they have the kids write a letter to themselves. And about 2 years later, it gets mailed to them. And this letter got mailed to him, and we didn't even know it existed. Huh. But Mary found this letter at the bottom of his backpack. He kept it with him. He'd actually gotten it about 6 months prior. Mm-hmm. And he always kept it with him. And in this letter to himself, he wrote that how important it was to him to go to church on Sunday. Because when he went to church, it made his week that much better. And he said, my relationship with God is very good, but it can always be better. This was a little bit about Nick's being, mm-hmm. that he thought about this and he prayed about this, and this was his being and how he conducted his daily life, his friendships with others, yeah. and how important they were, and how kind he was. And we heard these stories from so many people, from so many different avenues,
yeah.
about how kind he was and how caring he was and what a friend he was. And I think this was all reflected in his relationship with God.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It sounds like it goes beyond anything that he might have learned in school or church. It sounds like was something in his spirit and soul just naturally there that kind of fostered this connection. So it sounds like he was really an amazing young man. We're talking about the Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation. I'm talking to his dad, Jay Fagnano. Now, Nick was killed by the lightning strike in 2014. He was at the beach in Southern California. I know that was devastating for you and Mary. Because Nick's faith was so strong, Was the faith something that you and Mary could lean on during that time, or were you very understandably angry at God for letting this happen?
Boy, that's a great question. It's very interesting. I don't know that either of us went through an anger phase.
Mm-hmm.
We went, which is, you know, we read things and the stages of grief, and there's anger and there's sadness and there's this and there's that. I don't know that we ever went through that anger phase.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say that I, much more than Mary, went through a phase of, you know, why.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly are going to go through the why question. As human beings, we're going to ask ourselves, why did this happen to our son? Why is it on a day in Venice, California, where there's tens of thousands of people at the beach, why is it that Nick told his friend that he's going to just jump in the ocean for a quick second and rinse the sand off? And at that very moment, this dark cloud appeared seemingly out of nowhere, and the lightning struck, and Nick was the only fatality.
Wow.
Why did that happen? And we can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
But as here on Earth, I can ask, why, God? Why did you take him from us? And I think, Tony, in these last year and a half, I've come to a greater understanding. Maybe what Nick is doing is much more important now.
Right.
Maybe that our establishment of the Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation certainly is the result of what happened.
Yeah.
And we're doing good in other parts of the world.
Right, right.
Maybe that was Nick's calling. Maybe Nick was goodness. Nick was goodness.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know both Saint Therese and Mother Teresa talked about that when they die, they basically want to be saints that help inspire people here on earth, that help, you know, to be the intercessors to help other people do good and holy work. And I think you might have a saint in heaven who is helping you do good work through this Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation. And I just want to read a part of an essay that Nick wrote. I know at some point you found on Nick's computer after he passed an essay called The Reality of Heaven. And I want to read a portion of that essay that had a profound effect on you and Mary. Nick wrote, "Regardless of heaven being beyond my comprehension, the afterlife that I want to be a part of involves joy, excitement, and gratitude as we will finally be reunited with the loved ones that we have lost on earth. Perhaps rest in peace is actually not the best term in relation to death, Rather, a phrase such as, thrive in joy, best represents how I will want to spend eternity. Now, how did those words, when you found them of Nick's, that you hadn't read when he was alive, how did they change your perspective or approach to moving forward?
Well, I think that when we read that letter, when we found on Nick's computer, I think it was clear that we had a mission, and our mission was to do good. And we had been toying with this already about doing good for others. We had already made one trip to the Dominican Republic to help build a computer lab in a school in the worst slum in Santo Domingo. But this is what was the catalyst of us saying, boy, Nick continues to send us signs, and this is just another sign of where he's guiding us and where he's taking us in our lives. And reading this essay, this was an essay that he wrote for a freshman college English class. This was not, you know, this was something as part of a college course. And I thought, A, the subject matter was so interesting, and that the paper was about different religions' views of the afterlife versus his own beliefs. And this was the conclusion that he had. And I thought it was so profound. And Mary and I looked at each other and with tears streaming down our faces. That Nick is talking to us again. Nick is talking to us.
Right.
That gave us also the name of the foundation. It made it very easy to come up with a name for the foundation. Thrive in Joy. And it is something that we talk about all the time. We talk about bringing joy to the children in the Dominican Republic that we work with, bringing joy to children, kids here that we're starting to work with another project here in Southern California. And we look to bring joy every day. Because I look at that, at the Christopher's motto. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I look at that, Tony, and I think of that every single day.
Wow.
And we try to incorporate thrive and joy and keeping that candle lit.
Yeah. Well, no, you and Mary are definitely doing that through the Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation. I want to give the website, which is thriveinjoy.org. I'm talking to Jay Fagnano. He is the father of Nick Fagnano, and you guys are just doing great work. I mean, you just mentioned about the trip visiting the Dominican Republic. What did meeting the people there and the kids there, what impression did you get from them?
Yeah, it's such a great trip that we take. We'll be leaving for our sixth trip since November of 2014. We'll be making our sixth trip in April.
Wow.
And so we try to go twice a year. And well, we do go twice a year. And we hitched our Thrive and Joy wagon to Vision Trust, which is a Christian group based in Colorado Springs. And they do work for vulnerable children around the world. They're in 17 countries. And in the Dominican Republic, they have 12 projects. So we have that infrastructure to work with them. And that's who we go with when we go down to the Dominican. And our first trip to Tia Tatiana School, and like I said, it's in the worst slum in Santo Domingo. The average household income in that neighborhood is about $200 a month. It's a Christian school that's a beacon of light in this neighborhood. And it graduates way more children than the national average in the Dominican. And it was watching these children, and in Spanish, I know a little bit of Spanish, but watching these children and the prayer in the morning that they do together and the Christ-based teaching that these teachers provide there is so inspiring. And the conditions were so subpar. We knew that we needed to do something. And Nick's grammar school, King Brendan School, where he went from kindergarten to eighth grade, when they heard about our first trip, they organized what they called Crazy Day, which, without going into it too deeply, the kids could bring a dollar to wear crazy socks or a crazy hat. You know, it's not that great.
Okay, it's fun.
And they sold brownies and pizza for a dollar. And then the kids decided, before we went, Crazy Day was going to be dedicated to Nick. And they were going to, all the money they raised was going to go to us. And so the teachers thought, well, we'll probably make twice what we normally make. We made these $600. Well, the next day, the teachers gave us a manila envelope. It had $2,658.16.
Wow.
And there were parents that were giving, you know, $100 bill for a brownie. Kids broke into their piggy banks because we had a lot of change, so we know that. And so we went down there with a big wad of cash, and we knew we could do something. We knew we, you know, what could we do? We had no idea when we went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did, what we decided to do when we were there, after putting that computer lab together, we remade a classroom, and we called it Extreme Makeover Tia Tatiana.
Uh-huh.
And in one afternoon, we remade a classroom.
Wow.
And from desks that were falling apart and nothing on the walls, we turned the classroom into real desks, real chairs, learning aids on the walls, books, games, a cabinet for the teacher. The teacher was using a chair for her teacher's desk.
Mm.
And so we purchased all that in one afternoon and made it all up and came back the next morning and watched as the kids and the teacher came into the classroom for the first time.
Wow, what was that like?
And oh, my goodness. I have some great pictures. Kids were just beaming and laughing and looking at everything, and the teacher cried.
Mm.
And so we told them that we'd be back. And they, you know, there's a lot of the times well-meaning Americans go down there and do something and they feel good about themselves and come back, and that's that. Well, we did go back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've remade every single classroom in that school.
Wow, that's incredible.
And we have ambitious plans as we continue to work with Tia Tatiana School, and we also work with the Ramar Orphanage that has about 45 kids there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing work at that orphanage. Those are the two projects we're currently working on in the Dominican.
Right, right. I'm talking to Jay Fagnano about the Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation. The website is thriveandjoy.org. I mean, when Nick wrote those words, Thrive and Joy, he was talking about heaven, but it's interesting that, you know, you're basically bringing joy to these kids here on earth, maybe giving them a little touch of heaven. Does that touch you too spiritually? Does that touch your soul and help your faith to see the joy on those faces that you're bringing?
Well, I will say that every time we go,
mm-hmm.
the kids, the parents, the teachers, they all thank us. But really, when Mary and I get on that plane and head home,
mm-hmm.
we thank them and we thank God for them.
Yeah.
Because this has been a journey for us. And it has certainly, Mary was always a very devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit, I was not the most devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I would go because I felt it was important to go when Nick was little, and I knew a lot of people at St. Brendan's, and I always enjoyed them. But my faith journey has been much more profound and much deeper, and I think this is Nick calling out to me. And it's these children, and it's what we do that allows us to get up every morning.
Yeah.
It gives us our mission. And, you know, Tony, it's had such a deep impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of, yes, I do believe, I know that Nick is thriving in joy, just like he said he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I know he is.
Yeah.
But if I can bring some joy, and Mary and I can, with this foundation, can bring some joy
mm-hmm.
to vulnerable children here and abroad,
yeah,
then I am giving glory to God. I am doing God's work. And it's really, it's Nick that's guiding us each and every day.
Right, right. Does talking about Nick like we're doing today, does kind of reliving it, does it cause you greater grief, or does it help you deal with your grief in the sense that you're keeping his memory alive?
I would not be telling the truth if I didn't say that at some point every single day, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
It is a struggle. Coming to grips with it, even now, a year and a half later,
mm-hmm.
it's our humanly struggle. But I often say to friends of ours who, you know, sometimes they marvel at what we do. But I say, you know, we could have gone home and just closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
But we chose not to.
Yeah.
Because I think that then I would be in despair.
Mm-hmm.
If we had just gone home and closed the door. So talking about this, it gives me, there are tough days. There are certainly tough days. But being able to carry forth Nick's name
mm-hmm.
with our foundation, with the scholarship, the memorial scholarship we have at USC that was started. He was about to start as a transfer student at USC.
Yeah.
And we have the Nick Fagnano Memorial Scholarship at the Price School of Public Policy at USC. And that's already become an endowment, meaning that we've already awarded it. They have already rewarded a scholarship to a deserving student and will be awarding scholarships to students long after Mary and I are gone.
Right.
And those are the things that bring me joy. You know, thrive in joy. I look every day, both of us look every day for signs of joy. And to be able to tell Nick's story and to be able to carry forth the work that we're doing in his name, it gives us a reason to keep going each day.
Right, right. Well, you know, not everyone listening to the interview will have experienced the pain of losing a child, but I think it's pretty safe to say that everyone has undergone adversity or pain or illness or loss of some kind. Are there any general principles that your experiences have taught you about just how, what are those first steps in overcoming or moving through those difficult times?
I think that for us, we had an extraordinary community, and we still have a number of extraordinary communities that wrapped their arms around us. And it was because of Nick that they did. The community that he grew up in, his high school community where he played baseball, his church community at St. Brendan's, my college friends community that just overwhelmed me with wrapping their arms around me and the kindness that they all showed. It's a time when you need other people. And for us, that was a great help. We never did go to grief counseling or anything like that. We had this community that wrapped their arms around us. And we had our faith. And we had that connection with God. Albeit Mary's was much better than mine at the time. But we did have that connection to help us. And I would say, you're absolutely right. None of us get through this life unscathed. Now, as a parent, and I know that we've met a number of parents that have, you know, that this has happened to as well. And every parent would say, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? And obviously, this is it. Yeah. There is nothing worse.
Yeah.
A loss of a parent, a loss of a sibling, all of these are hard. But to lose a child is especially at this young age, when they're out ready to make their mark on the world and make a difference in the world, is profoundly devastating.
Yeah.
But we don't question anybody's journey that goes through this. And everybody reacts differently. And everyone has to deal with it differently. But you never get over it, but you do need to learn to live with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think to carry forth your child's name and to keep that child's memory alive through good work is the way that it's going to work for us.
Right, right. Well, in our closing moments, what's next for the Thrive and Joy Nick Fagnano Foundation?
Gosh, Mary and I, we still have to work, so we have jobs.
Yeah.
But I am also working on becoming an inspirational speaker and telling our story about Nick and about our faith journey. So I'm working on that. But for the foundation itself, we have a number of events. We go to the Dominican Republic twice a year, like I said, in April and November, and we take teams with us. And it's surprisingly affordable to go, and it's an amazing trip where you spend 6 days down in the Dominican at Santo Domingo. We all stay together and do work, whether it be working at the orphanage or at the school or any other project that we may have. We have that trip coming up in April. We have an event we had last year at Venice Beach on the annual anniversary of Nick's passing. And we had over 300 people there, and we created a huge heart. And it was a day of just people being together. And we're going to expand that this year. We're going to have it on the last Monday of July every year. And we decided that it's much bigger than Nick. And we're inviting and honoring other families who've lost children. So we're widening our circle, and we're doing that. We also have, because Nick's love of baseball, and he played high school baseball, we're having a big event at his high school, Notre Dame High School, Sherman Oaks. We're having a big event in early summer for with baseball and softball and young kids and old guys like me playing softball. The younger guys are going to play baseball. Old guys like me, we're going to play softball. And just have a day of enjoying life, enjoying each other, and celebrating the fact that Nick is the one that's bringing us all together.
Yeah.
And we'll be laughing, and we'll be having a great day. And it will be Nick is the catalyst for this.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Jay Fagnano about the Thrive Enjoy Nick Fagnano Foundation. The website is thriveenjoy.org. I'm really impressed by the fact that, you know, Jay and his wife Mary have taken this tragedy, the worst tragedy a parent can experience, the loss of a child, and they've chosen to be blessings for others, to be that candle in the darkness for others, and in a way that's helping them move through their own grief. They're increasing their own faith and relationship with God, because Nick was so connected to God during his life that he even gave them a gift after he died, this Thrive and Joy idea. And Jay and Mary are just running with it and making the world a better place because of it. So, Jay, thanks for all the work you're doing. Thanks for sharing your story today. And again, the website is thriveenjoy.org. It was a pleasure talking to you, Jay.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me on. And God bless you and the work you're doing. Thank you so much.
God bless you, too. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.